This is Edwin O'Shea talking about section 2.1 of Talman and Cohn. Well, these are very exciting times. At long last, we get to talk about the derivative, starting by stressing the importance of an intuitive notion of what the derivative means. Very roughly speaking, it's a notion of smoothness. So let's turn to the first page of 2.1, and we're really going to focus on a geometric idea of looking at a curve. We see our curve here in blue. And what you want to do is that you want to think of a car driving along on the curve. This is just a first very intuitive notion. A car kind of driving up the mountain, down the mountain, etc. And what you want to do is that you want the path of your car to be smooth in a certain sense. And one way of thinking of smoothness, if you look at these diagrams here, is that if you think of these red lines, these are called tangent lines, you could think of them as like spotlights, maybe, you know, being sent out from the very bottom of the car. And what you're saying by smooth is that, well, the turn in the spotlight doesn't change too abruptly at any point. That you can transition from one to the other in a very kind of, again, I'm going to use that word, you know, in a very smooth sense. So it's very roughly what it's saying. So this first section here on slope functions, you'll see some nice exercises in exercises 21 through to 30, and some of those questions are assigned. And here you could see what they're doing in this example is that they're plotting, they're calling the slopes of these tangent lines, it's being called f prime of x. So that's the slope of the tangent line at x in the original function. And then they're making a separate graph of f prime of x coming from f of x. So well worth a slow read, especially the especially the relationships at the bottom of page 156. You can also think in terms of position function. In this example below, you have a grapefruit thrown straight up into the air, starting from 4 feet, which is maybe your height when you're letting go of the grapefruit. And it's been thrown upwards. And then, of course, it reaches a certain point, you know, at which it stops traveling upwards and then decides to, then it just falls to the ground again. So in that figure, sometimes it'd be very confusing because that figure with the dotted line, it looks like it's some kind of a graph, but you really shouldn't think of it that way. That's just the path of the ball. And then the figure then on the left is the height of the grapefruit ball, after a certain time t. So you could see here you've got points A, B, C, D, and E. That corresponds to the heights of A, B, C, D, and E. You also have, below, you have a velocity graph, and you have an acceleration graph as well. And again, it's kind of a nice thing to think about. Moving next to the approximating the slope of a tangent line, and I would say this is like the biggest idea when it comes to understanding the calculus. So we spoke in the last page about slope functions. So now you might say, well, how could you actually compute these red lines, these tangent lines at a given C? So look at this example here. You've got three figures going from left to right. And the first one is that you want to be able to draw a tangent line at C, F of C. In this example here, the C is equal to 2 and F of C is equal to 4. So if you knew the slope of the tangent line, then that would be really great, wouldn't it? But you don't know what the slope of the tangent line is, but at least you know a point that's on the line. So here's what you do instead. To be able to understand the tangent line, you come up with these lines drawn in green called the secant line. And I've moved now to the second figure. And here's what the secant line does. It says that if only I knew a second point on the graph, if only I knew a second point on the tangent line, well, I've no idea what the second point could be, so why don't I instead pick another point on the original blue graph, let's call that point Z, and then I'm going to compute the green line that passes through the original C, F of C, but that also passes through Z, F of Z. And I'm going to call this line the secant line, and in the figures here it's drawn in green. Now, I can think of that as saying I'm going to pick a Z that's close to C. Or alternatively, I could also describe it, and this is in the third picture. Alternatively, I could think of it as picking a H that's very small and drawing the secant line based on C and C plus H. And now it takes no prize to guess what the definition of the slope at C is going to be. It's going to be in the second picture, letting the Z get closer and closer to C, and in the third picture, letting the H get smaller and smaller in the C plus H term. And you'll see the very last paragraph on that page. It says, since we know two points on a secant line, be they C and Z or C and C plus H, we can then compute the slope of this green line, and if either the Z is very small or equivalently, or sorry, if the Z is very close to C or equivalently, if the H is very small, then we're going to define F prime as C as being the slope of the secant line, And of course, the next paragraph on the next page goes on to say exactly, in section 2.2, we will take the limit. We will let Z get closer and closer to C, or equivalently, we will let H get closer and closer to zero. And that's it. That two-thirds of a page there is the heart of the calculus. That's the great idea there. You have a secant line, and the closer and closer your second point is, the better and better your approximation to that tangent line. So read that maybe five or six times. It's worth reading again and again and again. Next, we have approximating an instantaneous rate of change. Again, it's the same thing. We're talking about average velocity. Like, we want to get a sense of velocity, so we're going to take the average velocity in very small time intervals. And that's what this next section here is saying. I will let you read through that carefully. But it's very much in the same spirit as approximating the slope of a tangent line on the previous page. We have some nice examples. Example 1, sketching the graph of an associated slope function, will be very helpful for looking at exercises 21 through 24. Example 2 is graphing velocity from the graph of position. That's asking for the change in position, which is, after all, what velocity is. Example 3 is estimating the slope of a tangent line with a sequence of secant lines. There are a number of questions that tackle this very, very topic. And again, it's really at the heart of things. So take a lot of time looking at exercises. I think I assigned 35 through 38 and 43 and 44. Take a lot of time doing that. A similar application is exercises 45, 46, 47 and 48. Look through example 3 very carefully and very slowly. And notice in that figure, in example 3, you've got four little graphs. Notice how the green line is getting closer and closer to the red line as your interval, you know, namely your H, as your H gets smaller and smaller, or equivalently, as your Z gets closer and closer to X. That's really the key example right there. And example 4 is very similar to example 3, except your function is a position function. All right. I think that's it. Homework is assigned. Enjoy it. See you soon.